also shows two. They want to slaughter you. They want you to present twice, Naki. The other one is supposed to be for Human Sciences Research Council. SRC. If you could just amend the our agenda.
Yes.
My name is Lindwe Masebo, chairperson of the committee. You can continue, she still has.
My name is Nokuzola Ndomi, member of the committee.
Dr. Susan Tembekwayo, member of this committee. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Edna Stark. I'm from the committee.
And Nick Wernoff, also a member of the committee.
Chantal King, member of the committee.
Good morning. Amelie Lotrit, also a member of the committee.
Good morning. My name is Chandile, member of the committee. Chandile Mfulu.
Dr. Sele, if you could also your team can introduce yourself.
Good morning, Chairman, and good morning, committee members. I'm Zanele Munakutla, one of the council members for NACI. I would like first just to apologize on behalf of our chairman, Ms. Cheryl Delaray. She unfortunately couldn't make it today because they are busy having graduation ceremonies at the University of Pretoria. So we also have our other council members here, Mr. Paul Steenkamp.
Good morning.
Yeah, he's also... So those are the council member representatives. We also have the the CEO, acting CEO of NACI, Mr. Ming Sikgele, who will be doing the presentation. And we also have the CFO, Ms. Pretty from DST. She's also here. And we also have the office manager of the CEO's office, Ms. Tata Dube. Just as a brief introduction of... on the current NACI council, we are completing our 3 years as council members of NACI in July of this year, and this also gives us just a short opportunity to just talk about some of the work that the NACI council has done since in the last 3 years. Some of the areas that I wanted to highlight is the STI, Science, Technology, Innovation Scorecard and Booklet, which was done by this current council and has been very, very successful in terms of monitoring and evaluating innovation in South Africa and the innovation system and how it's performing, and gives good indication on where we're performing and where we need to focus and pay a lot of attention. I think that the team that has been leading that has done an exceptional job, and I think the committee members can also obviously give input on that. The portal, which is the STI portal, which is a one-stop shop where you can get all information on innovations and in South Africa, that is from the public sector innovations, and that was launched and has been progressing very, very well, and we're very proud that we were able to actually implement this, and are hoping that going forward we can build on this and that the council members can make sure that this is a success for the country. But we also did a review of the 1996 white paper, which obviously looked at where, the white paper, the areas that we need to focus more on in preparation than for the new white paper that's coming. Another aspect that we are focusing a lot of attention on currently is the utilization of government-funded R&D. This is to make sure that obviously the R&D that is spent needs to obviously, as far as possible, be commercialized, because innovation is really about implementing innovations and not necessarily just about the R&D. So this will be looking at what do we need to focus on in order to make sure that these patents and innovations are actually implemented and commercialized and are actually driving GDP growth and employment. With those, I'll hand over then to our acting CEO.
Thank you very much, Zanella.
Chairperson and honorable members, I greet you. And as the council member indicated, the University of Pretoria is having graduations, and our chairperson is presiding over those graduations, and she formally extended her apology. Chairperson, let me apologize. This morning I added this slide. It's an only slide I added because we had finalized our presentation long before the demise of our first deputy minister of arts, culture, science and technology, Mamu Winnie. So we thought that it's important as a sector to also acknowledge her contribution to the sector, but also recognizing that this year South Africa in general would be celebrating the centenary leadership dedication of President Mandela and Mama Albertina Sisulu. But secondly, I think the reason why we are having this slide is also to indicate to members of Parliament that the science, technology, and innovation sector is also not immune from the context in which it's operating broadly, because it needs to respond, it needs to take inspiration from the broader context and the leadership across political divides and various sectors. Chairperson, this is the presentation outline. As you have probably read in the presentation, this is a quick reminder that NECI is a statutory body which was established in 1997 by Act of Parliament and has a specific mandate, which is to advise the Minister of Science and Technology and through the Minister, the Minister's Committee, which used to exist, it's no longer existing, and Cabinet on the role, contribution of mathematics, innovation, science, and technology, and including indigenous technologies in promoting and achieving national objectives. And I think that's precisely why I was making the point earlier that the context in which we are operating is important. As the council member, Ms. Manokula, indicated, Chair, that the council term ends in July, we thought it's important to recall, in addition to the legislative mandate which we have made reference to, what I call the ministerial directive or guidelines, because when former Minister Pando inaugurated council in 2014, she gave the council or requested council to undertake specific tasks. And it's written here, I don't want to go through, but as it has been mentioned before, we have already met some of those key assignments that the Minister requested Council in 2014 to do. The only outstanding aspect is the development of the decadal plan, and we'll get to it as we present the strategic plan. But the minister also most particularly asked NECI to advise on how to convert successful projects into new business. And this is an area that we have not really been able to, at this stage, to get it right, but it's within the radar screen of the council. And the last point relates to the foresight capability that the minister envisaged NECI to develop. And I'll touch on this when we do the select targets for the new year. Chairperson, we have previously indicated, we have presented our vision and mission when we sought the approval of our strategic plan 2-3 years ago. Our vision really is to make sure that NECI becomes a leading advisory body to government on STI matters within a well-coordinated, responsive, functioning and national system on innovation. While on this point, Chair, I must extend the council's sincere appreciation for some members of the portfolio committee who attended the third Global Forum on National Advisory Councils last year, including the chairperson, and I think Honorable Kornoff was also present. This is that conference, that global forum was established partly to make sure that we are able to realize this vision, because the intention was to draw lessons from other countries and how they're responding. And I may say to members, to all members, that even now, colleagues who had attended, they are still so excited about what they saw, seeing members of the legislature participating actively in that forum, engaging with different stakeholders. And we really felt humbled as the council. Of course, our mission, Chairperson, as we indicated, don't just want to or seek to provide advice, but it's an advice that must be supported with evidence or informed by evidence, so that at least the policymakers, when they apply their minds, when they make decisions, they should at least make decisions based with the available variety of options that are on the table. And, of course, we do that through research expertise that's lying within and outside the council and through engagement with various stakeholders. This is a schematic representation of what we ideally envisage to be the national system of innovation. If it's fully functional, well-coordinated, responsive, at least schematically, it would have to manifest itself in that fashion. Again, Chairperson, we had previously shared with the Portfolio Committee our four strategic outcome-oriented goals, and the first one relates directly to our mandate because it's about providing advice, but we continue to draw experiences or lessons from previous experience to improve the efficacy, the relevance of our policies. And probably what differentiates NICI from other advisory bodies is that our advice that we provide remains confidential until the minister or government gives us a go-ahead to publish the results. Now, this is a difference to the academia, Academy of Science, which doesn't have this dimension to its advisory service. But secondly, because we also have to advise government on how STI is performing, is realizing socio-economic objectives, we have to build a strong monitoring, evaluation, and learning capability, not just for NIC, but for the entire country, so that we can be able to assess the health of the system and its contribution to sustainable and inclusive development. And again, some of the things that we've already done as part of building this capability, Ms. Monakutla had indicated, we have launched a portal last year. We are busy making sure that it functions optimally, and in future it grows. But we're also working with different stakeholders to develop a systems a monitoring and an evaluation framework that could be utilized. The third goal is to make a contribution towards the building of a well-coordinated, responsive, and effective national system of innovation. And in our engagement with the previous Minister Chair, we had indicated that this goal, to a greater extent, will depend on the content of the new white paper. Because if the new white paper deviates or debunk this concept of the national system of innovation or introduces a new framework, then we'll have to amend this goal. But in our few engagements with the former minister, she had assured that this framework will be retained. But of course, we are now having a new minister, and you know, of course, we'll have to engage and hear whether the same thinking will remain. The fourth goal, Chairperson, is more inward-looking. It's focusing on NIC as an organization that has to perform and comply like all other organizations But which must then focus in a new, different way, utilizing options and opportunities presented by digital options. It must be smart, it must be efficient, it must be a learning organization. Chairperson, previously we had indicated that context is everything to the council. We try to make sure that we understand the context both locally and globally within which we are operating. And this slide broadly focuses on key policy documents that are informing or shaping our work, the first one being the National Development Plan and a range of STI policies that are currently under review. And I don't want to go into the details, but we do highlight below what these policies mean and what they suggest. Honourable Members of Parliament would also agree with us that as a country we are faced with a number of challenges and opportunities, because it's always important not only to see problems but also see those problems as opportunities in the same manner that the Chinese will encourage us to do. That's how we are saying. We acknowledge the various challenges, but we also see them, some of them, as giving us an opportunity to do things differently. The economy continues to be sluggish, and we all are aware, as a consequence, we are faced with high unemployment, especially amongst young people who are supposed to be economically active. Poverty levels have been increasing in the recent while, and of course, recent reports produced by the World Bank, I think last week or a week before last, confirmed that we're one of the most unequal societies in the world. And of course, the challenge around the current account deficit and the contribution of technology is critical. And then, of course, this province in particular is faced with a water scarcity, but there are other provinces as well that are experiencing a similar challenge, which poses an opportunity for organizations such as NEC and others to really think about how we can intervene and assist. Energy remains a challenge. Food security is one of the key challenges facing South Africa, and the loss of topsoil and HIV/AIDS, while we have made progress, but it remains a challenge to our society. And of course, Chairperson, I'm sure in your engagement with the National Research Foundation, you have dealt with the question on human resources for STI. But from where we are, whatever progress that has been made, there's no denial that the system needs to expand and it needs to transform if it were to meet the demands and the challenges that are imposed by the conditions under which we're operating. The implementation of sustainable development goals, or the SDGs, is quite essential to the work that we have to undertake and the work generally that other institutions in the system have to, because we have a role to play in making sure that science, technology, and innovation also contributes towards the realization of those goals beyond the specific goals that are identified for innovation. As a cross-cutter, STI can assist various societies, particularly ours, to deal with the challenges that are posed by sustainable development. And of course, everyone these days talks about the fourth industrial revolution or the new production revolution. It is a challenge, but it's also an opportunity for us as a country to think about how to exploit the opportunities presented by these dramatic changes. And digitization, of course, is also providing opportunities, but it's also providing challenges in our society which we need to be able to deal with. Open science, particularly inclusivity in terms of people and nations, infrastructure, talent, governance, and issues around big data, These are global challenges. Most countries are experiencing similar challenges, but of course we have advantages with SKA, which could play a big role in terms of big data. The question is, how do we make sure that we increase access, we make sure that we take advantage and we use SKA to position South Africa amongst emerging successful nations in the world. Globalization and the growing complexity of science, technology, innovation require greater interdisciplinary cooperation within the country and between various countries, particularly in the region. South Africa needs, in our view, we need to build stronger relations with our SADC and other regions in the continent before we could strengthen our ties with various sectors in the globe. Of course, we are playing a role within BRICS, the OECD, and other blocs. And then, of course, we do recognize changes within universities where there is now an effort to bridge science, engineering, and social sciences and humanities. And this is globally, international organizations have even been meshed to demonstrate or to show this development. The challenge is, how do we make sure that within the country we also see the convergence of natural and social and human sciences in the way we think about issues and how to resolve issues. And then, of course, the issue about the post-truth era, which is exacerbated by social media and the fake news and so forth. Chairperson, having shared briefly some of the global and national challenges, we would like to also point out specific challenges that relate to NIC as an organization. The first one relates to our principal mandate, which is to produce and utilize advice. This remains a challenge. And as you could see, that even the minister in 2014 captured this challenge that government is confronting and what government would be looking for by way of advice. But in a sense, it's also saying to us as council that it's important to think differently about advice and think about how we could be utilizing advice. The second challenge is that relates to the composition and the renewal of NECI Council, because, Chairperson, since 2014 we have seen the original members of NECI Council, some have resigned and then new ones have joined. And then, of course, there's been the renewal, the resignations have also impacted on the social composition of the Council. And we would like to indicate we are aware of this challenge, and we are hoping that perhaps government will address this challenge in appointing the new council. We do understand that, like all science entities or agencies, we need to do better in terms of communicating our work and ensuring that knowledge management is better improved. Staff capabilities and ongoing efforts and organizational capacity to meet increasing demands. And then, of course, we have highlighted some of the challenges, because previously we have indicated to Parliament that we had asked the department to help us develop a new organogram, job descriptions, and skills audits. And unfortunately, we're still waiting for the final organogram and the new job descriptions and skills audit, which are critical in terms of taking us forward. Chairperson, I would like to move quickly to the selected medium-term initiatives. The first one relates to the development of the STI decadal plan framework. This is, as I indicated earlier, it was a request from the previous or former Minister of Science and Technology. In our engagement with the minister, we did point out that NECI does not have the powers to formulate policy. That's government province. But what we can do is to develop or undertake a foresight exercise, get different stakeholders in the country, mobilize different experts, organizations to identify What are some of the key priorities that South Africa should be focusing on in terms of science, technology, and innovation in the next 10 to 20 years, which can then be utilized by the department in formulating the new decadal plan? The foresight exercise is about to start, Chairperson, and would like to perhaps formally extend an invitation to members of Parliament, because there is a possibility that the colleagues we have asked to facilitate this process may identify a need to talk to members of Parliament as experts in different areas to get their views on what they think should be the areas of priority that South Africa should be focusing on. But I must also indicate, Chair, that we have already conducted training to young people who have no prior knowledge or exposure to foresight exercise. We had this training 2 weeks ago. It was attended about 30 people. They came mainly from government departments and science entities. We did that deliberately to build capacity, because we would like government to take, to embrace foresight exercise and utilize it in different areas to think about, to take a long-term vision about where different activities should be located or priorities. And then once we have conducted the foresight exercise, Chair, we will then work on a high-level framework, which will then provide in a form of advice to government, for government to consider in developing an STI decadal plan. Our wish, if everything goes well, is to produce these outputs not later than September this year, because we'd like government to, as they indicated to us, that they would want to make sure that by March 2019, at least a draft or a final version of the plan should be available. So we don't want to delay that process. The second key initiative relates to the development of STI data and information portal, which we have already indicated previously. It was launched last year as a pilot, and the next steps that must be undertaken, we've already begun documenting user experiences, but we're also refining some technical aspects of the portal to make sure that we increase the number of people who are accessing. So last year we recorded just plus or minus 3,000 users who have visited the portal. And firstly, we would like to enhance the experiences of those people who visit our portal, but also would like to increase the number of people who are visiting the portal and make sure that it becomes truly a national asset. And then, of course, later on, we'll develop a business case for upscaling. And we have a technical team. We have assembled a technical team of experts, mainly drawn from DST entities, because we want all DST entities to own this portal and not see it as a DST initiative. And also it's part of building coordination and discouraging people to operate in silos. The third thing is to develop an NSI monitoring and evaluation framework and a system. And as I said, indicated, Che, it's quite critical to the role that NEC is expected to play. We have seen the earlier versions of the white paper when the minister met NEC to have a discussion, and there was a strong emphasis on NEC taking up this role. But what we have also done, because we want to strengthen partnerships with DST entities, we have been engaging the Center of Excellence in Scientometrics and Innovation Policy, which is based here in Stellenbosch and ERI, the TUT. They are working with us. We have already developed a preliminary draft MNE framework. We'll be meeting in the first week of May to refine that framework, and possibly in future we'll convene a roundtable discussion, invite all stakeholders to have a discussion around this framework, which once it's finalized will then develop a system that must be agile enough to accommodate any changes in national policies. And of course, we will have to look at the new white paper once it's finalized and utilize that to enhance the framework. Chairperson, these are the few areas that Council has proposed as basis of advice that it would seek to provide to government in the next financial year. And we have shared with the minister and discussed some of these areas. They are from NECA's side, but the minister, as the legislation provides, would still come back to us and make her own request for advice. And we're expecting to receive such once probably when we meet the minister in June. These areas, there are some work has already started, and they are at various stages. The council would seek to make sure that at least by end of July, substantive work would have been done in all, or if not most, of the areas that have been identified. Chairperson, with your permission, because I have already indicated or made reference to the importance of deepening existing and building networks and participating in local and continental and international forums. I've indicated the Global Science Forum. The forthcoming forum, Chairperson, that we have been asked, since South Africa is the president of BRICS this year, NECA has been asked to host a BRICS Advisory Forum in December. We are currently working on the concept note with relevant parties, and in July, I think, when there is BRICS Summit in Durban, we may participate, but we are envisaging that in December we'll be hosting that BRICS Summit. We continue to work with SADC, STI Desk. They have asked that some of our staff members assist them especially in indicators work, where they've been training experts from the region. And of course, locally, these are the institutions that we have been working hard to build strong relationships, because NECA believes that it cannot do all of these things that it's expected to do with a skeletal staff of 13 people, if you exclude council members. And then, of course, Chairperson, we are in a process of conducting both a self-evaluation and an external evaluation or institutional review, which is an important good corporate governance practice. We are not forced to do it, but we are doing it as a good corporate governance practice. And it's going to give a sense of how this council has performed since resuming office, but it will extend beyond the term of this council, because the last review to be done happened in 2008, so the review will have to cover two periods. So we have established an external review panel made up of local and international experts who have all agreed they will be here mid-May. They will be conducting interviews with a range of experts. And again, there is a possibility that they may request to perhaps have a discussion with the portfolio committee or the chairperson of the portfolio committee. We're waiting for them to indicate to us, because they want to talk to different people who, in one way or the other, have a stake in the work of NECA. Other entities, they also do the same. If you permit, I will skip these slides, because they sort of give you, summarize the details, give you specific targets to the range of issues that I have already mentioned. And perhaps I will go to the expenditure estimate. CFO, would you please, because since this is your preserve, maybe just take members through this table.
Thanks, Chairperson. Thank you, honorable members. NECA, in terms of financial administration, their budget is part of the departmental budget.
So what the department presented before the committee yesterday, the budget also is inclusive of what is allocated to NECI. So for the midterm expenditure estimate, that's what I will focus on. And in 18-19, also inconsistent with the budget growth of the department, NECI is allocated 20.1 million, which is actually 3% increase as compared to the prior period, and also in line with the department's after 2 years again, NECI's budget growth will be approximately 6% increase. Thank you.
Thank you, CFO. Chairperson, in concluding my presentation, it is important to indicate that we will continue to implement both our legislative mandate and ministerial assignments that, as we have indicated, but we also do recognize that perhaps the new minister will, when inaugurating the new council in end of July or August, may also assign new tasks to the new council. And, of course, we will have to find ways of accommodating those tasks in the current financial year. We will continue to ensure that our strategic plan and annual performance plan are aligned with the National Development Plan and, to some extent, the DST strategic plan. And then, of course, the NECI's focus is towards the system. And this is one aspect that differentiates us from other entities. Our task is to look at the system in its totality and then find ways in which to strengthen the system's ability to plan, to do analytical work, and to conduct monitoring and evaluation. So we need to build the necessary capabilities. But also, in doing that, of course, we need to be able to deepen and consolidate our engagements with various NSI actors in order to ensure that the outcome of our advice is of quality. It speaks to the requirements or the needs of society and our stakeholders, and to make sure that we don't just provide advice that lie idling in officials' desks, but our advice is uptaken, utilized across government. This is, you know, a moving target that or goal that we would constantly be working on. But we also see ourselves having to play a bigger role in terms of regional and continental partnerships. And, of course, we're working closely with the department's ICR. At an organizational level, Chair, it's important that we don't impact negatively on the DST audit of predetermined objectives because administratively, NEC is under DST, so our plans are also considered within the DST's audit. So we have to make sure that our plans are properly developed, our targets are set properly. And, of course, we need to continuously undertake self-evaluation and institutional reviews to improve performance. And once we have a new organogram, of course, we'll have to implement it and continue to develop staff and reposition NEC as an institution, make sure that we communicate better with society and other stakeholders, both local and internationally, and make sure that we continue to recognize and enhance knowledge management, and of course, making sure that NECI operates in an environment that is characterized by transformations through digitization. And in this regard, we have begun working with DST Information Technology Units to help us move so that we become a truly smart organization. Siyabonga, obrigado, thank you.
It didn't read the others. Thank you very much, Dr. Kellen. Also, thank you to Ms. Munakhotla for the presentation.
let me give members of the portfolio committee an opportunity for questions, clarity or comments. Dr. Corona. Honorable Corona.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for the presentation. You know, it's difficult. Maybe I should just make a comment. It's difficult to ask questions. But I get the feeling, and, you know, if you listen to people outside the DST room, they are negative about Lucky. You know, they really think you're in a flux and that you really, you know, don't know where you're going and what you should do. And, you know, we've also, the DST was in front of us yesterday, and they say there is a decadal plan for Naki. Now, maybe a question. I also see it in your presentation a little bit, but is Naki looking inwardly, trying to be what they should be, and can we look forward to a more effective Naki that knows exactly what they should do and where they're going?
Honorable Tak, and then Dr.
Yes, Silver. I've got a question. Thank you, Chairperson. And my question is, acting CEO, why an acting CEO?
Thank you, Honorable Tak, and Dr. Tumbegwai.
Thank you very much. My first question would definitely have been the one that has been mentioned right now about the position of the CEO, why acting, but it has been mentioned there. And as I listened to the presentation, my feeling was there is a degree of uncertainty with regard to, I mean, you talked about the end of the term, June and July. So it seems as though there's a degree of uncertainty of what's going to happen to the existing members of council, I mean, as the presentation was done. And I just wanted to comment further on the slide 19, where mention was made of deepening existing and building new work, specifically concentrating on the third point, the strengthening of the relations with National Research Foundation. For me, it's very important, not only NRF, all those entities that are mentioned there. And the reason why I'm saying this is because in slide 18, mention is made of absorptions of black researchers and in brackets with master's and doctoral degrees, and then together with the following point that also talks about the performance of the students there. To say it's those are some of the points that are echoed within NRF structures and all those entities that we had yesterday that presented all make references to the honors, the masters, and the PhD students that are produced by them. But all the same, it's all about the pool of the graduates that are produced in the country itself. So I don't see any need why we have to work in different compartments. Different compartments addressing one and the same issue about the students that are produced within the country. So if that can be done, the strengthening would be better. And not only the strengthening, sitting together as entities and deciding upon the future of our graduates specifically in South Africa, more important about their placement, the work-related opportunities. So if I can also maybe have a clarity on that. And the last one, still based on slide 19, the last aspect, self-evaluation. Since the council is coming to an end, and it's only in 2 months, what is that sample self-evaluation that you have? Because it was established, you need to evaluate yourself, check on the strengths and the weaknesses, as it may be, and it must also be carried over to those that will be elected to serve on council for the coming term. Thank you.
Honorable
I have one question. I looked at the comments from the minister that you highlighted from 2014, which is a very insightful comment, I have to say. But then from that, I would like to know how many of the advice that you have given to the minister and the cabinet was actually involved into real projects in during the term of the council. Thanks.
Thanks, Chair. I would like to know how many strategic vacancies do they have in their office? Thanks.
Thank you very much for the questions and and comments. Dr. Kwele?
No, thanks, Chair. Some of the questions the council members will also fit. Let me start with the last one. In terms of our structure, there is only one vacancy of a deputy director who resigned. In fact, it's two. It's a deputy director and an assistant director. They resigned 2 years ago and last year, only this year. But of course, given that government has frozen, post, we can't fill. But what DST, with the permission of National Treasury, that is to give us temporary people on a 8 to 12 months contract. It's a serious strain. But as I said earlier, that we are waiting for DST to finalize a new organogram, because that will give us a sense of the size of NECI capacity. And then it will indicate how many new vacancies will need to be created, at what level. And then must then have a discussion with the minister, who in turn, if she agrees, will have to engage National Treasury. Because that would link to two parts. The question about people thinking that NECI is probably irrelevant, is doesn't know what to do, and the issue about how many advisors are being utilized. Because if you look at institutions that are comparable to NECI global, you can almost feel that we are very far. I mean, last week I was in Russia, having been invited by the Higher School of Economics. That's an institution, it's a university, but it has a component that does foresight exercise for Russia as a country and other international bodies. Remember, this is a component that DST has said NECI going forward will need to institutionalize. It has more than 100 people who are just doing foresight exercise, nothing else. Japan has again a similar component of their institutional landscape, whose task is to do foresight. It's called NESTI. That's a body that has been doing Japanese long-term plans since 1970. Again, they are having, if I'm not mistaken, more than 100 people. South Korea, which is an equivalent of NECI, Key Step, has more than 60 staff. And they are at a higher level. At NECI, it's my position, which is at a deputy director general level, And then the rest are at director level, with an exception of one chief director and then maybe three directors and then three deputy directors, one assistant director, right? So it's not an ideal institutional capacity to have. You know, so I'm responding to the issue about vacancies, but I'm also signaling to you that if you want to have a serious advisory body comparable to global, I've used developing countries like South Korea, you'll see even in the continent, other countries that have established similar structures like NECI, they are investing heavily, and soon they'll be. Now, the second point related to how many advice have been turned into projects, I'll partly deal with it, but I'll also ask council members to deal with this question. This council has provided government with a range of advice which we have shared with the portfolio committee through our annual report, and we do have a list, and we've asked them to last year to indicate to us of the advice that we have provided, how many have been accepted, processed, and how many haven't been processed. We can share, Chairperson, with your permission, because we've got that copy, the response from the department. We can share with the members so that they can see the response that we received from the department. It is a concern from council members, because as you've seen that response, that a lot of their advice have not been processed. And then, of course, some issues have been raised about why some have not been taken up and so forth. It is a big issue. That's why in one of our goals, we're saying the issue around relevance, in as much as government will have to speak for itself in terms of why of what it's doing with the uptake, we will have to take a critical view as well to constantly reflect on our own advice in terms of whether we're giving government something that they can use and in what ways can we improve. Let me deal with the issue around people. Of course, this thing about people having unfavorable views about NECI, we are aware of that. Some of these, even the reviews that have been done, whether those that were specific to NECI or about the system, you could read and you could get a sense that even experts are saying, because part of why that perception exists, they say NECI, if you look at what the legislature had in mind when establishing NECI, NECI is supposed to be the most powerful institution in terms of what the legislator had in mind in 2007. But it hasn't been allowed, in a sense, to be what it should for various reasons. And I'm saying some of those reasons are well written by experts, but also some of the reasons, they are internal, right? And we are working on those. So it's an ongoing discussion. That's why we also constantly try and improve, because we also feel that part of it has to do with communication, because it's important to change people's perception. The more you engage with them, give them an opportunity to appreciate, the better they do. Some people who have interacted with us, and when we show them the work that they do, they get so amazed and said, "We didn't know about you. We wish we would have known you more." And then they start utilizing. But where, honorable members, we found joy with our work, which is increasingly, is the level of publicity that we are enjoying, especially when we launch what we call the indicators booklet, which is becoming a national flagship, and we draw different stakeholders, and they are utilizing our reports. Universities, they are doing that. We are aware Even government departments, we have looked at ministers' speeches, government officials look at their documents, even some of their strategies. They use our documents, but they would not. Some of them will not publicly say, oh yes, we are happy with your work, but you listen to what they are doing in their documents and speeches. So that's also a challenge in terms of how our advice is being utilized, because sometimes people won't acknowledge that they are utilizing, but you look at their documents and then you see. So it's a challenge, we do acknowledge. Ma'am, I think the issue about, I fully agree with you, that's why we feel as NACI that the work that we've been doing with entities is precisely that some of the things that as a country we have not done well is because there's duplication and yet there's limited resources. So NACI took a conscious decision, at least the council in 2014, they said, NACI must not do primary investigation. We have CSIR, we've got HSRC, we've got universities. If we're having a question that we don't understand, let's ask these entities and universities, have you addressed this question? If someone has addressed it, get invited to NACI Council. We work with that person or that institution. And then NACI's job will be to then do an analysis and then produce an advice. That's what we are trying to do. On the transformation question, we'd had a number of discussions with the minister and the previous minister. And she was quite clear that whenever she raised this question with entities, she got a sense that entities were becoming irritated with a question of transformation. And as such, asked NACI specifically to say, you are playing a systemic role. Please help us to look at this issue broadly and then probably in future come up with a high level, a long-term view in terms of how we can address. That's why we were saying our interest is to look at how the system can be expanded so that we have more black women, honors, graduates, masters and PhDs in fields where they are currently not in. But also make sure that we're having institutions with the capacity to make sure that they are not only there, but they graduate on time, because that's another challenge. People, they take long to graduate. So that's part of the role. But what also NACI discovered through the indicators is that as we have seen more black PhD graduates increasing, and in fact, in the last few years, they've outnumbered white counterparts. But if you look at their absorption in the private sector, it remains a challenge. And the work that we are seeking to do, we have started doing some preliminary work, is to understand how we can improve the absorption of black PhD graduates in the private sector. And then, of course, the issue around math and science in high schools, it remains a challenge. We have already engaged the Department of Basic Education and other stakeholders who have done different work around this thing. They have agreed that NACI could play a big role in this question around math and science. Maybe, Ms. Manahol, you can deal with the issues. I can't respond on why I'm still acting, right? So they will deal with it. Anything else? Yeah. And then if you want the issue around the absorption of our advice.
Thanks. I think you did cover quite well in terms of the perceptions around NACI, and I think
Dr. Benick, in suit of your
What I think I'd like to add on that, I think just to add to what the acting CEO said, is I think it definitely, I think, is more a challenge, I think, in terms of marketing what has been done. It's more a marketing and awareness issue in that a lot of the work that has been done by NACI is not known broadly. And I think if there was more time was spent on that, I think the reception and understanding of NACI would be a lot better. And I think maybe it's a challenge that we haven't we haven't as NACI maybe risen up to as much. Where I think we have started to make some inroads in that space, I think with that STI indicators in the booklet, roadshows are done. And this now, you know, it's probably one of the only institutions that does a holistic overview of innovation in South Africa, and especially publicly funded innovation, and does a measurement. The other measures you have are very much private sector, and they don't look at the socio and economic. They only look at how much money are we making from innovation, and doesn't look at, you know, innovation broadly. How does it affect communities? How does it increase, you know, the wealth of the community? Is it actually assisting South Africa in terms of South Africa's needs? So I think if we could look at that, the STI indicators and booklets, and continue growing that and making sure that there's broader awareness and marketing of it, I think that would be, I think, one of the very big steps that we could take to create more value around what's already being done. So I think that's, as I said, more of a marketing and awareness. So I think we need to maybe publicize it, put in the newspapers, and do more roadshows. The roadshows could even go to each province and talk about it. And I know in the next one they talk about, they do innovation and measurement of innovation per province. So, and I think if we're not doing it as NACI, and NACI being an independent institution made up of, you know, people across different spaces, it's very much an indicator that is seen as being very objective and not like a private sector where we're promoting certain companies. The one challenge that I do think NACI does have is that it only sits, it's part of DST. And the challenge that you have is that if NACI is sitting as part of DST, innovation is broader than just science and technology. So that, I think, has always been one of the, you know, challenges that we have. Because a lot of some of the stuff talk to trade and development, and it talks to economic development and all of those. So I think what this acting CEO was saying is that if you look at what we're supposed to be doing, it should be cutting across and including also those aspects, and should be including all of government if you really want to take it to the level that it really should. So I think those would be weaknesses, and I think some of the challenges that also I think there have been, I think some review that has been instigated to look at NACI. So I think that also might create some sort of uncertainty if people know that you are, you know, introspecting, they think things are going to change, and that might also lead to more negativity. So that, I think, is just my comments in terms of the perceptions of NACI. I think as the comment about it being inward-looking, I wouldn't say it's inward-looking. As I said, I think if more of the stuff was made public, there was more public awareness, I think people would understand and know what is being done. I think it's probably more ignorance than actually the fact that we are inward-looking. And I think also the portal, if the portal is also publicized a lot more and we increase the users of it, you know, and that, I think these are the targets that we've set for the next phase, is obviously increasing usage, and everyone should really know, so that it's one port of call that everyone can go to look at what is happening in the innovation system in South Africa and get that information. On the CEO position, the process had started, and I think it was at the final leg of completion when there was a process that had not been properly followed. So because of that process that was not completed in the right way, the whole appointment was, well, there couldn't be an appointment, because if you don't follow the process to the T, the challenge you have is that your process can then be flawed. And once your process is flawed, whoever is appointed is invalidly appointed. So even though, I mean, the advert had gone out, there'd been selection, there'd been interviews, there were actually final interviews. At the final interview leg, the evaluators were not as per, I think, the act or the process.
So that caused problems in the sense that if you don't comply, you know, and because it was then decided that the whole process had to then be withdrawn and restarted. That was, I think, a decision at probably the DST and then minister. So I can't speak on, because I guess there could be more than one way to remedy that. The best remedy was seen then to withdraw the whole process and restart. So that is unfortunately where we're at. So the whole process, I think maybe with the new minister will hopefully restart the whole process. But it's been very, very unfortunate that we spent a lot of time in getting to that last leg and not completing it. And I do think also, I think for the acting CEO to have also, been part of the process and taking and working in NACI for so long, and the whole process not completing has been, I think, quite unfortunate. Other comments? I think the comment on self-evaluation was just reaffirming what we are doing in terms of, good governance. We have to review and see where we're equally strong and look at that before we continue. In terms of advice, some of the advice that has been given, I think some of it has been used. I know we did quite a lot of advice to the minister on energy, which she would use in the meeting she'd have on energy requirements in South Africa and what is best and optimal for South Africa. Other advices that I can recall then was that I think the one on innovation, a fund for innovation, that did I think also have some challenges, but it didn't. It was supposed to then have been aligned to another entity outside of DST, which we haven't seen anything transpire from. But I know that there are other funds that have been are now in place on innovation that we can actually look at and talk about. As the acting CEO did mention, there has been, I think, a bit of a challenge in that. I think some of it is, lack of communication, from the Department of Science and Technology, because what we do here is that they do use it, the advice, but they don't come back and inform us of where they're using it and how they're using it. So I think we need to have better communication. Even I think the information that you'll be getting, I think, from Mr. Grille is also a bit of old information, because that letter, I think, from the DST, the last input we got from them on the advice, I think it's a year old. So we haven't had the most updated, So I do think that coordination, there is room for great improvement, because we are supposed to be working as one way we feed information, because if we don't get those insights from them, we can't improve our advice. So we need to understand where is it working and how do we improve so that we can service them better. I think on the monitoring and evaluation aspect, part of what the duties of NACI are, I think we are doing probably very, very well. Yeah.
Maybe just to add very quickly that the job of giving advice is sometimes a thankless one, because part of the advice-giving process is evaluation of a current performance of system and organization in those systems. And very often the advice is to do things differently rather than to do the same thing a little better if what is currently happening in the system is the wrong thing. So sometimes the advice is of a nature of, let's not do the wrong thing righter, let's do something different. And that is very hard advice to take from a change management perspective very often. And equally, I think the point has been made, but I want to amplify it, that as part of the advice process, if evaluation is the bedrock of the advice process, then very often NACI is in a conflict of interest in that it's essentially monitoring the performance of one of the biggest players in the system, which is DST, but it sits inside DST. So I think there are some systemic sort of design challenges which the white paper needs to address around where NACI sits going forward, if as a country we're serious about the role that NACI needs to play. Thank you.
Thanks. We understand. I think we've gone beyond 1 o'clock.
just one, I think there's one point we didn't deal with. The fact that the council term ends in July should not create an uncertainty, because that's what needs to happen. The new council will resume office and there will be a handover. It is possible that some members of the current council may be in the new council. So it's just a process to renew the council. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the collaborative response to the questions from members. I think we do agree that the process of the appointing the CEO, if it's flawed, if it's not fully followed, then better restart so that you have a credible end result. And we agree on the issue of working as one. It's one thing the portfolio committee always says, that we are one government. And we have the same objective, so don't need to compete with each other, but you need to complement each other. Yeah. And also on the issue of the R&D, we are also trying our best to ensure that there's a separate vote for R&D. We hope it will happen in our lifetime, and so that then you don't have a problem of other departments asking for assistance from science and technology and them not being paid. But when it suits them, they're able to pay consultants out there. But once again, thank you very much and all of the best to the work that you are doing. And we're hoping that it will also find its feet with the new minister. She's a hands-on person. Engages a lot, and we hope that, and very young, full of energy. So sometimes we make you to run a lot. So good luck with that, and yeah, thank you very much. Honorable members, HSRC is just outside. There is lunch prepared for you, so we will take them and then we'll have lunch after. Thank you very much. Thank you.